Amen. I just gave one of those Gideon Bibles away to a little boy. One day I sold some cattle and gave him a whip. And I gave him a little Bible and I said, "Do you know Jesus?" And he said, "No, I don't." And I turned to the parents or their uncle, and it was their uncle or grandpa, and I said, "Do you know Jesus?" And he said, "Yeah, I gave my life to him a while back." And I said, "Great. Well, you need to teach this little boy what it means to follow Christ." So they're everywhere, so I thank you for that. I try to give away at least 300 Bibles a year, and it's difficult sometimes, like you said. But today I told them, a lot of people ask me, is it difficult going on mission trips? And I said, well, sometimes if you have to ride with Monty on in a van, but other than that, it's okay. But today I told him it's going to be a little different than I've ever done before, and a lot of people don't understand me when they see me anyway. So just hang in there, and I want to share with you some things that's ever since I was a kid, I always wanted people to know Jesus, and that's a spiritual thing. And since I've become a Christian at age 13, I the next day I led my best friend to the Lord. And so about 3 years ago, I did his funeral. So in turn, this last month has been really different. This is the first opportunity since that. About a week before that, I had an opportunity to preach, but I wasn't ready. So Bigsby, you better be ready, because I have some things that happened to me through these last month, and it's something that really has talked to me about, because there's many people this way, and I call it the third dimension. This is my sermon as such, and the first part of my sermon, I want to tell you that there was a man named Roger, and I've known him a long time, and he got rid of his family as such, and he put all his pride and all everything in money, and I leased his land out from him across the street from where my farm is, and I've known him for a long time, and he's always bragged about what he's got. And so he's a kind of a different type person, and he believes different and everything, because he's a self-made man. I don't know if you've ever met those type people, but it's all about him. And so in turn, I've got to talk to him, and very little, because he's a different belief type guy. And I've talked to him about the scriptures sometimes, and he'll come up. But this was the first time I prayed and I asked God to give me some words to speak to this man. So I started reading, and one of the scriptures that I gave, and I'm going to give it to you, it says that there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, and in the verse, chapter 3, verse 3, it says that, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, born again is a different word than what we use today in our deal. Sometimes we say saved, and sometimes we say redeemed. But I like to say that we received Christ as our Savior, and we gave our lives to him. And I think that's a better definition of born again, because when you give your life to him, that means it's not yours anymore. So I started talking to him about his life. And this is what he said to me, and I just about fell over. He said, "You know, I believe all good people are going to heaven and all bad people are going to hell." And I said, "Well, that's an impossibility. That's just an impossibility. There's scripture says that there's very few going to heaven, and there's broad is the way to destruction. A lot of people are going to hell, even though they don't know it." They don't think it. And he sure doesn't. He believes he's going to be okay and everything's going to be fine. And he thinks Jesus is just another man. And I've heard that so many times I could scream through my life, because Jesus is not just another man. He has no sin. Now, I'd like for y'all to stand up, all of y'all that haven't sinned. And there won't be one that stands up. I'm the only one standing. What do you think about that? But anyway, Jesus said that you must be born again. And I told him that. You must be born again. You must give your life to Jesus. And I said, there's an impossibility, because there's not a one person that's good but one, and that's Jesus Christ. And I gave him the scripture in Romans 3:10. It says, there's no one that is righteous. I want you to look at your own life as I speak, is that Anytime you need to make a decision, you just come up here to the front during the message or whatever you need to do to make sure that you know without a doubt that Jesus is your Savior. And then I gave him Romans 3:12. Now, I did this without looking him up. I memorize a lot of scripture, and the thing about it is the Bible says be in season and out of season and give an account of who you are. And the Bible says that people will say things and you be accountable to that to know what to say to these people. And so in turn, he was saying that, I said, no, there's none that's good. So the only people that's going to go to heaven are the people that's given their life to Jesus. And I gave him, of course, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, I'm going to quote a lot of different scripture for you because I didn't write them all down, because I try to hide the words in my heart that I'll be ready to give account to somebody. And for those that don't know Christ, and what is really good about what you hear about when people that receive Christ is this: I finally know what you're talking about. That's really great, because a lot of people say they're Christians and they're really not. And this guy believes that he's going to go to heaven, and I said, you can't without Jesus Christ. And the world doesn't like to hear that, and this Roger sure didn't like to hear it, but he talked to me, and he's had a stroke, and he lives in Panama, and he comes back and forth, and if you ever hear of Paola again or whatever, I want you to pray for him, because every time I get up and I drive up there to the farm, I get on the four-wheeler, I go look at my cattle, his land's right there, and I pray for him every day. And that changed my life, because through my years, I've been very fortunate to get to do a lot of things. But like I told my friends, my joy is doing this. Not preaching, but to share the gospel. Matthew 18:9, it says, better to go to heaven with one eye than go to hell being cast out to the lake of fire. I told him, you know where your life is going to be, brother? You know where it's going to be, Roger? It's going to be in hell. And he said, you really believe hell's hot? And I said, yes, it is. And I want to share with you a little bit more later on, but hell is real. Heaven is real. I go to funerals, and I know a lot of different funerals, and I've done funerals and done that and this and that, but nobody ever goes to hell in funerals. Have you ever thought about that? Nobody ever goes to hell at funerals. You know why? Because it's a terrible place to talk about. But I told him, I said, Roger, if you ever expect to get to heaven, you got to give your life to Christ. And I looked him right in the eye, and he said, you know, you really mean that. And I said, I do, because I don't want anybody to go to hell. And you know what? Jesus sure doesn't want you to go to hell. There's something else that happened in my life this last month. There was a guy named Robert, and I was talking to him, and he's a big guy. He's a little bit bigger than me, a little taller, and he's always jolly, and I always give him a rough time, tell him about how ugly he is and everything. You know how that is. And he come up to me, and he said, you know, I'm going to make it to heaven before you do. And I said, are you really? And he said, yeah. He said, I'm going to die, and I'm going to go to purgatory. And they're going to pray me to heaven, and you won't get to heaven like that. And I said, I won't get to heaven like that, that's for sure. I said, because there's no such thing, and you can read all the way through the Bible, there's no such thing as purgatory. Jesus says that when you die, I said in Psalms 55:15, it says, go to hell alive. You know, there's a thing about alive, and there's a lot of people that are alive today. Do you agree? There's a lot of people that I've met that have the abundant life, that people are alive, but people without Christ are walking dead people. Did you know that? And the scriptures say that you can be dead and alive at the same time, and that's what lost people are. But the Bible says here that you can go to hell alive. And what he means by that is when you die, you're going to go to hell if you don't know Christ. In Hebrews 9:27, it says, man dies, and after that, then the judgment. Christians are going to be judged. Lost people are going to be judged. The great white throne judgment of all the people that have not given their lives to Christ. And they're going to be judged according to how they served. And I told Robert, I said, Robert, you know, some of your life is not holding water, because Jesus is the way. And through that, when I was thinking about purgatory and he was leaning on that, is that he was a self-made man too. He never did understand. In Revelation 14, 12, it says, each person will give account of what he has done here on earth. I said, have you ever sinned, Robert? He said, yeah, but it's not a big deal. I said, that's strange. Jesus calls it separation. I don't know if you caught it or not, but I read about a Pharisee that was talking about how he was going to get to heaven. And you know what Pharisee really means? It means divided. When a person really doesn't know if they're going to heaven or not, they're divided. But Robert really never understood. In Isaiah 53:6, I learned this when I was 12 years old. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way. Everyone. But we lean on Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Then there was one other person, and this is really strange to me, is that, not really, I hear it more today than I have in a long time, is that this young lady's 42, and I saw that she sent me a message that she's going to be baptized in 2 weeks. And I went, good night. You went to Mexico with us. And I saw you learning the language, and I saw you doing all this and that. And she said, yeah. But you know, at 10, the preacher came and preached on hell. And I think he was trying to kind of scare the hell out of me. And at the same time, I realized that I needed to be saved. So she went forward at 10. But she didn't really understand what that meant. And since January, the Lord had been working on her life. And I guarantee you, and Monty has helped me with this one, is that if God is talking to you, it'll be a godly thing. It won't be a worldly thing. It'll be a godly thing, and he'll direct your path. And I sent her a scripture, and I told her, you know, and Jeremiah was talking about how you should follow Christ. And whatever it is, what was really good, her pastor told her, just work it out. The Bible says work out your salvation. And you start studying the Word of God and do that. And finally she went to her pastor and said, you know what? I just want to confirm it to make sure that I know to follow Christ. And so she's going to be baptized. And I was really shocked because a lot of times we have a wayward, there's one or two things happen. You're not really saved, or you've been wayward from God. You're not reading His Word. You're not studying His Word. And the thing about it is you really don't know what you're doing. And a lot of people are that way. I find more people don't really know when they were saved, if they were saved, and if they're continually being saved. But the salvation comes only once. It doesn't come 10 times. I've heard people say, I've been saved 10 times. And that's not right. But I guarantee you, I know without a doubt, when I was 13, I gave my life to Christ. And you know what? I was preached to hell when I was younger. And that kind of stuff stays with you because you don't want to go there. And the thing about it is, I remember I was afraid to die. And you know what? After I asked Christ in my life, I never have been afraid to die. And now when I get my age, I'm ready to go now. And that's how I feel. I'm ready to go because I know Paul said to die is gain. And what he meant by that is that there's nothing wrong with living for Christ here on earth. But you know what's good about being a Christian is that you have the abundant life. You don't just have life, you have the abundant life. I'm always having a good time wherever I go because I want people to have a good time in life because it's short. If you don't believe me, young people, it gets shorter, okay? But the Bible says that the righteous, it says in the Luke 16:14, I want to read that for you. Luke 16:14, Luke 16:14 or 16:19, it says there was a certain rich man clothed in purple and a fine linen, and he wondered why he was so dressed up so nice, and a certain beggar named Lazarus was full of sores. And the thing about it is that when someone dies, there's a separation from this earth to heavenly or to hell. One of those things happen when you die. And you never, ever think about that till someone dies. It's really strange. I think about dying, but when I go to funerals, I think, I wonder where they are. I wonder what's really happening. The Bible talks about heaven a little bit and everything, but this man of Lazarus and this certain rich man, he really didn't understand anything. He just understood what he's doing. And most people that are used to whatever they're doing, like this one woman that I was talking about, she lived a life of what she wanted to do. But, you know, only God knows who's saved and who's not. But I tell you one thing, it's really exciting to know people that really follow Jesus. They really love Jesus because it changes your life too. And when you go and share the gospel. In John 5:24 it says, when we pass from death to life, and that's what happens when Dawana gave her life at 10, even though she didn't know exactly what happened. You see, at age 13, I really didn't know what happened, but I knew I was different. And I told Dawana, I said, I know if you know Christ, you are different. But the thing about it, you haven't studied enough to realize what it really means to be a Christian. We have a lot of people. There's two verses in that 5:24. It talks about you will know that Christ is the Son of the living God when he comes into your life. And the one I like to use when I help people come to know Christ is 1 John 5:13. It says, these things I have written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. And this life is in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now see, the life that Jesus gave was the one that lasts forever. You see, when you die, you're going to have a billion years, not just 100 years here. You're going to have a billion years with Christ. And it's hard for us to comprehend why he even gave us the opportunity. But when Jesus wants to save you, he'll save you. And you know, the idea behind it is that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. How many's lost? It says, for all have sinned. All of us have sinned. And when you give your life to Christ, it's life eternal. You see, there's one other thing I want to share with you. I'm speeding it up a little bit because y'all don't want to hear about my life, right? But this last one was one that really got me. And I shared the gospel with some people before, and some of them had come up and say, I want that Jesus you got. We went to Cuba, then we went to Panama sometime, and the chief at the end of the deal, because I was a cowman, I didn't think that would even be a consideration, and I became a king down there because I knew something about cows. And at the end of the week, that guy that was the head of his tribe came to me and said, I want that Jesus you got. Because we said, we know that guy that created this place. And he said, I want to know that guy. And you talk about sky high, Tuffy Wiggly's flying high. Well, this one's really tough. You see, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12:13, Monty, it says that we have a lot of vanities in our lives. A lot of things that don't count. You know, we're going to be judged according to hay, wood, and stubble. You know, there's a lot of stubble out there, Steve. A lot of it. And you know, and a lot of things that we're going to have burn up. But in the Ecclesiastes 12:13 says that King Solomon said, you know, I came to, finally after my whole life, I finally found out what was important. And it says, fear God and keep his commandments. He finally learned what was important in his life. All the things God gave you was needed. And God is the answer through Jesus Christ. It says a decision determines destination. Your decision for Christ makes a destination. You're going to make one or you're not, one of the two. But this young man, he was 18 years old. He was a great athlete. I don't know if he made All-State. I don't really keep up with all the stuff that they do now. But, you know, the Roman Empire fell from all the sports programs, and we're pretty there. We're almost there for all the sports programs. I don't know how many's playing sports today on Sunday, but there's a bunch of them. But I know that this young man was doing a great job, and he got a full ride scholarship to the Air Force Academy out in Colorado. And I didn't know him very well, but I knew the family. And every time we found out his senior year, he had cancer. And it was a rare kind of cancer, and he spent most of his days out. And the day he was supposed to go to the Air Force Academy, he got cancer. And they found out, and he didn't go to the Air Force Academy, and he started taking treatments and stuff. And every time we'd go up there and see him, I'd always put my hand on him. I'd pray for him. Well, he asked his mom, I said, is that guy a preacher or what? Because I knew him off and on, watching him play sports, talk to him, really nice guy and everything, about my height, but a lot skinnier. And so I started talking to him, and then one time he was at the hospital, and his dad broke down, and which his dad don't break down. I mean, if you knew him, he was Mr. Macho, and he didn't break down, and he was crying like a baby. And he said, you know, he's the best guy I've ever met. And I thought to myself, I can't say it, but there's no good guys. There's no great guys. There's only one good guy and only one great guy. And so I prayed with him there and his wife. And he said, well, Jack, he's asleep over there in that room. And I said, yeah, I'd like just to go pray for him. So I went in the room and I prayed for him. I put my hand on his leg and I prayed for him. And he woke up a few minutes and said, thank you, Tuff. He was asleep, people. Went back up there a few times and he came out of some testing and he was by himself and I was by himself with him and I put my hand down there on him and I prayed for him. I said, God, whatever your will is. You know, there's some tragedies in life. Do y'all agree? Anyway, he woke up and said, thank you, Tuff. So 3 days before he died, they asked me to come over to his house. And I went over to his house and I started sharing with him some things about life. I said, some people don't even make it into this world because we kill them. Some people live a whole life and die without Christ. Some people are living a life, it's a lie. And I shared with him this decision in making is that I know you don't go to the same church I go and believe the same way I do, but I'm going to share the gospel with you. I'm going to share the truth about your life. I pray that God's will would be done in your life, and I'm praying even now as I speak. And I shared with him, and I was with him over 2 hours quoting scripture and showing him scripture in the Bible about what his life's about. And what's going to happen. And where you're going. Believe it or not, he listened. And he talked. And I said, Jack, if you'll just invite Jesus Christ in your life. And really believe that he died for you. You can be saved and you can go to heaven. There's no other way. And he... This guy is 18. He's a super smart guy, okay? And he's gone through all the great things of life. And here's what he asked me, or this is what he told me. He said, I've never heard anything like that before. Can you believe that? I about fell over. He had never heard the gospel. So I shared with him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel is the good news. That Jesus came to die for you, Jack. He came to die for you. And you. You selfish people. You prideful people. And I said, this is what you can ask Christ if you want to. Ask him to forgive you your sins. And ask him to come into your life and you give your life to him. Any way you can ask him that and mean it. And he will do it. And I sat at the end of the bed, and he was over there in that bed, and he rolled over in his bed and put his head down like this. And I was like this. I couldn't see him. And I heard him pray Jesus Christ into his life. And you know what? I could have flown. And here's what he said, people. Here's what he said. And this is the last time I talked to him. The last time I'll see him. Here on earth. He said, I want to thank you for telling me the truth. Nobody's ever told me that, and I know what you mean now. Amen. I tell you, I was ready to fly. I walked out of that room and I said, thank you, Jesus, for answering my prayer. You know what a tragedy is? Not cancer. It's dying without Jesus Christ. That is a tragedy. But Jesus answered my prayer by saying, lead him to Christ, and praying for whatever God's will be done. You see, I don't want anybody to go to hell, and I don't know why God gave me a heart for missions, a heart for people, and Monty's shown me love that nobody else has ever shown, and we talked about it. And he's been one of my friends because he's shown me love. And we talk. He does drive pretty sporadic in that van. But we have some good talks. But here's what it says in Luke. And you can put them down. In verse 23, it says there's torment there. You ever had torment? The other one is that you're crying all the time. This rich man wanted them to go back and tell his five brothers that don't go to hell. One of them, you thirst, you hungry. I worked this week for a change. 2 days, I'm almost died. I sweat like a racehorse anyway, but man, it was hot. The thirst. Not only that, it was heat and hell. I don't like heat. I don't like cold weather now either after last winter, but cold. But the heat we have is in hell, and the separation. There's a separation there. And the thing about it is that when you're separated, you won't ever get to see anybody anymore. You see these three people that I've talked to, or four that I've talked to you about, there are a lot of people that way. You see, people ask me questions. Some of them make fun at me because I'm a Christian. But I'll do it every day. I want people to know the truth. You see, I've got a song I'm going to sing to you that means a little bit more than what I'm trying to preach to you. And if you got another 5 minutes, how many's got five more minutes? Raise your nose. Your nose. That means you're awake. You raise your nose, that means you're awake. Y'all know that? I want you to hear this song, okay? I hope I can do it without breaking down. I sung it 30 years ago. Peasant girl in Mexico, teacher in Bombay, in Africa, a fisherman, a housewife in L.A. People, just people in every single land, has never seen the Savior's love, felt his healing hand. Untold millions remain untold. People hungry for all the bread that feeds the soul. Multitudes unheard of have yet to hear. We must go, we must preach, we must make the message clear that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Across the world, from where we live, and right across the street, neighbors we know very well, and
souls will never meet. People, just people, trying to find their way. Searching in the darkness to find the light of day. Untold millions remain untold. People hungry for all the bread that feeds the soul. Multitudes unheard of have yet to be. We must go, we must preach, we must make the message clear that Jesus saved, Jesus saved. All the fields are wide unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Oh, but by his might the world will know there is hope in God. There is life brand new. Untold millions remain untold. People hungry for the bread that feeds the soul. Multitudes unheard of have yet to hear. We must go, we must preach, we must make the message clear that Jesus saves. Do you believe that? Jesus saves. We must go, we must make the message clear that Jesus saves.
You know, I really want y'all to know the truth, and it seems like my farmer friend's right, that when you plow through your life and made a lot of plowing and sowing, and he said, "Tough, you're in the short rows now of your life." And so I want more people to know, even though what I did before, I want more people to know. And see, and there's one other scripture I got to share with you. It says in Romans 10, it says how, in verse 14, it says, "How shall they be called upon him who they have not believed? Nor how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" You see, Monty, it's very important. People, it's very important that you go preach the gospel to a lot of lost people. You know, a lot of them's not going to listen. Believe me, I've been turned down more than I have accepted. But you know, Jesus said he went out to find that one lost sheep. It might be one you lead to Christ. So if you have a decision to make, you're not living a life of Christ, you need to make it public today. He's always called people publicly, Monty, every one of them. You see, I'm just an old farm boy that loves Jesus. And I want everybody to love Jesus. They say everything's wrong with this world. I said, no, nothing's new under the sun. He's always had people trying to destroy him. But Jesus will never be destroyed. I've got a victory. I'm always on the winning side. Amen. We're going to stand right now. We're going to have a little invitation. And if you are not saved, and God's going to give you one more shot at it, it's time to be saved today. Monty, you can receive them if there's some come. And if there's somebody that's not living a Christian life, it's not something to be embarrassed about. It's something that I need to get right in my life so I can walk right. And if you have something you'd like to share with Monty and pray with him about, somebody you want to share the gospel with, somebody that needs this, God does answer. He does answer prayer. And let's pray, okay? Thank you, Father, for your love for us, for how you've called us to do what you have us to do. And I thank you again for what's said and done today, that you'll receive that and you'll be honored by it. For all the three speakers and all the music. And I thank you for Monty and leading this church. And if there's anyone here that does not know you as their Savior, let them do it today. We're praying for you. And for those that are not walking according to your will, a lot of things that are more important. Vanity is more important. And thank you again for loving us when we're not lovable and giving your life for us. And we give you all praise and glory for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Name above all, amen.